Good morning, 7:41 here on the Mighty 690, and we are now joined by Representative Ron Bryce. How you doing, sir?
Good morning. I'm doing very well. It's kind of rainy out there.
It is.
It's good to see.
Kind of a darker, gloomier morning, but that's okay. I do want to let everyone know that if you have a question for Representative Bryce, that we're actually going to be taking calls here. So if you'd like, you can go ahead and call in. And if you have a question for the state representative, and we'll get you on hold, and then we'll be taking some calls. So just if you're interested in that, the number is 620-251-6909. Or 1-800-252-KGGF, and we'll get you on the air here this morning. So, sir, we've got a lot of things happening in Coffeyville, but one thing we want to hit on real quick over at Hirsch is you've got a little announcement to make.
Oh, yeah, and a rainy morning like this is a good day for coffee, so soon you'll be able to get some coffee at Hirsch's. I know the rain's good for the farmers, and I know it's good for agriculture, but we had the roof blow off of our building at Hirsch's, and it just destroyed the back half of the building. So this was a couple weeks ago. We've got a new roof on there. We're restoring the inside and hope to be open by Memorial Day weekend.
Okay. Well, very good. Very good. Again, we do have open phones this morning to ask your questions. So 620-251-6909, 1-800-252-KGGF. If you do have a question for Dr. Ron Bryce. We just heard in the news a couple of minutes ago, the education bill that was recently passed. Any thoughts on that? I know we kind of had a little bit of a breakdown of where some of the one vetoes and two money, where money's being spent on that. Any thoughts?
Yes, of course. That's Senate Bill 113. It's $6.3 billion bill that the governor did sign this week. However, she did something that is unprecedented, and she line item vetoed several things in the bill. I don't want to get too far in the weeds, but a line item veto means she picked a line on page 3, say, and a line on page 17, and a line on page 43, and she just said, okay, I'm going to mark through those. Those are not law, but everything else is. And that has never been done in an education bill. It's unprecedented, and so we need funding for public education, but this is going to tie things up in the courts for I don't know how long. The attorney general's involved. Who knows? There may be a court case go to the Kansas Supreme Court, but that is what it is, and she's done what's never been done before. We will work with what we have currently, and there are still, you know, she didn't take out all the good parts. There are still some good things in there, and I'll just list a couple of them. One of them is Kansas public education is fully and constitutionally funded, and that is something that we made as a 100% requirement in the legislature. Another thing is low-income students. There's a scholarship fund where low-income students can have scholarship to the school of their choice, and if they fall within a certain amount of income, this one is actually a tax credit. If you pay income tax in the state of Kansas, you can designate a certain percentage of your income tax to go to this scholarship program for low-income students. We have increased the number of students who qualify. Now 250% of the federal poverty level you qualify, and that's the same, to give some perspective, that's the same as CHIP requirements for the Children's Health Insurance Program. We've also increased, if you pay, say, $100 in state income tax, you used to be able to spend designate 70 of that 100 for the scholarship program. Now you can designate 75, so that went up a little bit. So I think that'll help low-income students, underperforming students, have a better opportunity at education. There's another thing that is in that bill that she did not veto, and I think it's very good, and it's the non-public students. And we used to say private schools, but it's not just private schools. It's non-public. So it could be homeschool, religious school, college prep schools of different kinds. They can now participate in KSHA activities. That's the Kansas sports and athletics. And so let's say you're homeschooling four kids here in Montgomery County, and you have a couple of aspiring baseball players. Well, if you pay taxes in Montgomery County for public education and you're homeschooling your kids, you can participate in your school district's sports. And so I think that's good for giving families a little more choice, and maybe some of them would be able to do things that they wouldn't be able to do before. And the last thing I'll bring up about the Senate Bill 113, the education bill, is a task force has been set up through this legislation. There will be 11 members on the task force, and they will do recommendations to the legislature for special education funding. That's one thing that has lagged some years in the recent past, is full funding for special education. So we're working on that, and that's one thing that I think is a positive we can take away from Senate Bill 113 that the governor signed with some vetoes as a caveat.
Well, very good. I do appreciate you having a little bit of perspective on that. We are chatting with Representative Ron Bryce here on the Mighty 690. And this is your time to give us a call and ask a question. Doesn't have to be on any particular topic. Just whatever you would like to ask you this morning. Give us a call at 620-251-6909 or 1-800-252-KGGF. And, sir, you've said that you've had several, you get a lot of, I'm sure, emails and letters and all that sort of thing. And overwhelmingly, you've had lots of responses related to abortion issues. Is that correct?
Right. I think politicians, like you said once before, I think politicians tend to think everything's about taxes and budget, and other people in their day-to-day lives don't think in those terms as much. I expected to have a lot more constituent feedback about the veto of the tax cuts that we presented to the governor, and she shot down $500 million a year in money being returned to taxpayers. And to me, that was a three-month project that we did in the legislature, and I thought that would be a big deal, but it turns out I doubt 5% of my constituent emails and phone calls has anything to do with that. I would say 80 or 90%, unbelievably, has to do with life issues. And a couple other times I've been on the show here and I've talked about some of the pro-life legislation, but since it seems to be, I mean, I get literally hundreds of people emailing and calling me about this, so I'll just bring it up again. For the first time in, I think, the history of the state of Kansas, the legislature has overridden the governor's veto of pro-life legislation, not only once, but three times. One of the bills is the Newborn Protection Act, basically. It's that you have to provide comfort and appropriate health care for any baby who's a newborn, who's born alive, even if they're born alive after abortion. Another one that was very controversial, and for the life of me as a medical doctor, I can't understand why it would be controversial, but it is to notify women who take the abortion pill. I don't know if you know, James, but nowadays at least 2/3 of abortions are done through pills rather than surgically. And this bill would give information to women that the first 24 hours after they take the first pill and before they take the second, they can potentially cancel out the abortion pill. So if they have second thoughts the next day and they say, oh, what have I done? A lot of times we heard testimony from women who go back to the abortion clinic, say, I don't want this after all, and they say, it's too late, you've already taken the pill. Well, that's not giving them the information. There is abortion pill reversal called progesterone, which has been around. It was first prescribed in the 1930s. It's been around a long, long time. It's something created by your body, a female body, in the what they call the corpus luteum or the gonads. And it's a hormone that we give and a supplement, and it can reverse the abortion pill. So we think the legislature, led by the Republicans, thought that women should have that notification that if they do have second thoughts, they can reverse the abortion pill within 24 hours or so, and something like 80% of the time they have a normal, healthy baby afterwards. So the governor vetoed that. That was a second bill that we were able to override in the legislature a couple weeks ago. And then the other pro-life bill that she vetoed that we were able to override provided some funding for underserved women who have babies and they need diapers and formula and maternity homes for single mothers who can't support themselves. We provided a fair, in state budget terms, a fairly meager amount. She said it was anti-abortion, and so she vetoed that, and we were able to override that veto. So I'm very proud that the Republican-led legislature did override three pro-life vetoes of Governor Kelly. It's something that's very dear to my heart because in my own experience, I think I've told you before, I don't know if I've shared why I'm pro-life, but I have cared have I shared that before that you recall? I can't remember.
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, but in the when I was a young doctor, I was on call in an NICU, which is a neonatal intensive care unit, and it was a code blue for, I didn't know what at the time, but I went into the room, and it turned out it was an abortion that produced a live baby. And I went to the room. Everyone seemed fine. However, I saw in the corner there was a live baby boy crying. And apparently he had been set aside to die after the abortion, after he was born alive, but he wouldn't stop crying. So they called me in. The nurses called me. The abortionists didn't want them to call me. And so I took the baby. I cared for the baby. And over his short life, over just a day or so, I was really transformed into a pro-life person. After, I think, you know, personal experience trumps opinion almost every time. And for me, holding that baby, who was moving his arms and legs, he was crying, he was struggling, and to experience something like that, where you hear the baby, you feel the baby, you hold the baby, to say that it is something other than a baby and can be killed is just beyond belief. And so that's the point where I became staunchly pro-life to this day, and that's something I will not back down on. So I was very pleased this year in the legislature as a freshman, first-year legislator, they allowed me to carry or lead on the bill to legislate that there will be care and comfort care given to newborn babies, even if they are delivered as a result of abortion. The governor, again, vetoed that, but I'm happy to say we in the legislature were able to override her veto. So I've been getting several calls lately about pro-life abortion-related issues, and it's really fascinated me because I didn't expect that. You know, a year or so ago, we had valued them both, and it was overwhelmingly defeated, and it seemed to be put to bed for a time. But this is something that's still simmering out there, and I think 90% of the people I hear from want to hear about these issues.
Well, that is interesting to actually see that different volume of responses that you get. And also interesting, just from a letter of the law standpoint, you know, depending on, we talk about maybe different involuntary manslaughter or even, you know, homicide or whatever. If you have a pregnant mother, oftentimes they will count, you know, the baby as, you know, part of that count. Mm-hmm. You know, it all depends, you know, legally. But it's just kind of interesting that they would consider the baby, you know, like a person, if you will, in that context, but then not a person in the context of an abortion.
Right. And one of the arguments, and I believe the governor in her veto note said this, is there are already laws on the books against negligence of someone or murder of someone, so we don't need a law like that. And you would think that's true. You know, there are laws on the books that say don't murder. But that is clearly not enough because this is, in my experience, been a very common over the years, very common event where babies are born alive after abortion. And that's something that a lot of people give me feedback on, because do you recall Dr. Tiller? He was a late term abortionist.
Oh, yeah.
In the Wichita area.
I remember that day, when he was shot.
Very sad that he was shot. Yeah. I really regret that. Mm-hmm. But when we overrode the governor's veto on this, one of his nurses called me on the phone. I was in my office at the legislature, and she was just adamant that I was lying, that this does not happen. There are no born alive babies as a result of abortion. And in my experience, I had, you know, personal experience directly or indirectly with 27 over a 3-year period. So I knew, you know, again, personal experience trumps opinion. And she just would not accept that. She almost, like she had her fingers in her ears just saying, no, 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 no. And I was thinking, why, and I heard from other pro-abortion people, why are they so adamant that they can't believe this? Do they not know what abortion is, you know? But I think it shakes to the very core the argument of abortion when you realize that it really does take the life of a child in the womb. And when that hits home, I've seen a lot of people become very, very emotional on the other side, and when they realize this, and some of them have even changed sides, and especially when you know, I know people who are adults now who survived abortion. One lady I met with a couple of weeks ago in Kansas City at a banquet, and she talks about her survival of the abortion. Her mother went in to have an abortion. She survived. And now she's providing care for, I believe she started an organization, has about 700 women in it that have PTSD or psychological problems related to having survived abortion. If you could just imagine your own mother and the healthcare system, you know, tried to take your life, and then you have to live with that the rest of your life. They do have some psychological and emotional issues. And so one of the things I would like to do this upcoming legislative session, that reminds me, is I would like to try to have some funding for support of abortion survivors, because they really are a group that is ignored, I think. And they it's partly because I think they don't want to bring it up. It's not something they you would wear on your sleeve, but it's something that I think we should look at, because it's just as much a mental health issue as a lot of other things that we're dealing with.
Sure. Well, Representative Ron Bice, we're going to have to leave it there, because it seems our time is always short. But we do appreciate you coming on, and look forward to having you on again soon and next month. And hopefully we'll be able to squeeze in some calls then.
Great. Thank you very much.
All right. That's Representative Ron Bice here on the Mighty 690. And coming up, we've got the folks from Skink Insurance will be in here shortly. 66 degrees right now in Coffeyville.